Well, good morning. We are in the book of Exodus. We're in chapter 20. We have been looking at the Ten Commandments, and we've been seeing how they affect not only Israel, but how they affect our lives, and the fact that they are still important to us, and that there are positive aspects of the commands. They're not just don't, but they are actually trying to teach us something. So if we take the don'ts and we turn them into something that we can understand also in a positive context, we understand that it affects our lives and it should change the way we act and talk and the things we do. And so that's what we've been doing. If you miss one or a few, they are all online, and you can check those out on our website, and you can hear what we've been talking about. Today, we are on the ninth commandment. We are coming to the end of these pretty quickly. and so the first four, if you remember, deal with our relationship with God. These are commands on how we should relate to God. The fourth one deals with the fact that God has created to us to have a time of rest, and we often turn that rest into worship, which is also important. But we should not forget that we are to also rest. And then the last six of them deal with how we have a horizontal relationship. So it goes from the vertical with God to the horizontal with others. And so how do we treat others? How do we take care of others? How do we respond to way other people interact with us? And so we've been looking at these different commands. And so today is the ninth command, and it is a simple command. It is a command that we all need to understand. It's a command that we all need to adhere to, but I promise you it's a command we've all broken. And so it is important for us, and we've even justified this command in our life. Simply put, the ninth commandment tells us to tell the truth. Tell the truth. Don't lie. Don't make up stories. Don't have half-truths. Don't keep your mouth shut when you're not supposed to. Just tell the truth. It's one of those things that just aggravates the fire to me when it comes to how when someone lies to me, especially if my kids lie to me. They will probably get a whipping more if they lie to me than if they actually told me the truth of what they did wrong. And so I try to communicate that to them. Tell me the truth. Let's not go through this fiasco. Just be honest with me, telling the truth so I know what's going on. And so to tell the truth is an important thing. And so God commands that we should be known to be people who tell the truth. We should be honest. We should not make up stories. We should not lie. We should be people who are truth tellers, and we should be known for that. And so by the time we're done today, I hope you have a strong conviction in your life just to be honest. And so that's what we want to look at today. Our verse for the day is in Exodus chapter 20. It's verse 16. And it's simple. It says, do not give a false testimony against your neighbor. Don't give a false testimony against your neighbor. And so what does that mean in the context of that they have? And so how can that apply to us today? And so I want to pull out a couple of points. The first one is this, is that we need to be truthful. Be truthful. I know that's simple. I know that's plain, but it is something that we need to deal with, is to be truthful. Originally, this command dealt with kind of a court system. But even further back in Mosaic law and in biblical times, in order to convict someone of a crime, you had to have at least two male witnesses. Women, sorry, you didn't have any credit back then. You have credit today. We love you. We know you have value. But in this time period, it is a male-dominated society. And so men were the only ones who could testify in the court of law. And so you had to have two credible male witnesses to testify in a court for the wrongdoing of someone else. So he says, do not bear false witness against your neighbor. Don't bear false witness against people around you. And so it forbids all forms of lying, all forms of slander, speech about others. And that should be pretty clear that that is not really hard to translate to our culture as well. We should not be people who slander others. We should be people who are truthful. We are should be people who don't talk bad about others just to hurt them. And there's that old saying, if you got nothing good to say, don't say anything at all. But that's a whole nother thing. But we should not be people who libel. We should not be people who slander other people. So for many, truth is relative today. Truth is relative. There's no such thing as absolute truth. There's no such thing as the truth. We have truths of other people. People have truths. I'll never forget it. Someone actually said this. Recently, there was a congressman on TV, and he's making a statement, and he made this statement that about this testimony, and he said, she told her truth. And I stopped and I thought, wow, how far have we come? No longer is it important that she tell the truth, but she told her truth. And that was perfectly acceptable. As long as it's truth to you, it is good enough. And the problem is in Scripture, that's not good enough. We can't have our truth and your truth. There is only the truth. And all truth is God's truth. Truth is the truth. And truth is absolute. I know in our culture today that's not the context we have. That's not how we talk. We talk about, well, if it's good for you, and then you can do it. But it's not good for me, and so I'm not going to do that. And we want to minimize what we call absolute truths. I mean, they're true no matter where you are, no matter what culture you're in, no matter what time period you're in. A truth is a truth. And Scripture is filled with truth. But we've made it relative to what we feel like, or we've made it relative to what the majority thinks. And we've changed so many things. Because we want our truth. The book of James, it talks about the use of the tongue. And it says in chapter 3, verse 8, no man can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil. It's full of deadly poison. So the tongue has the ability to build up, and it has the ability to tear down. What are you going to use your tongue for? Are you going to use it for glorifying God and building up people, or are you going to use it to tear people down and lie about them? So this truth, this command is important for us today in our time, in our city, and in our lives. You can't tame the tongue. It's restless evil. It's full of deadly poison. That's a powerful statement. That's a powerful thought that your tongue has the ability to hurt someone, has the ability to tear them down. And are you going to use it in that way? And I'll tell you this, if you've used your tongue in a way that tears people down, if you've talked bad about them, if you've spread rumors about them, if you said things about them that were not true or turned out to be different, you need to apologize. Don't just feel sorry. You need to go to that person and apologize. Turn your tongue from deadly poison to something that gives light. But you see, in our society, we take truth too lightly. We say, oh, well, no big deal. They lied. We all do it. The problem is in other cultures, they took the truth very seriously. From our history, from ancient history, we see that there are three cultures that really took the truth of something very seriously. In ancient Greece, if you were a habitual liar, they had the ability, or there was this practice of bringing you up on top of a cliff and throwing you over. There ain't no white lies in that culture, huh? That your lying could lead to death, physical death of yourself. In ancient Egypt, there was a practice, if somebody lied in a court hearing, that they could cut off your ears and cut off your nose. and you walk around deformed the rest of your life and people know that you are a liar. In our court system today, if someone is a liar or they're caught to be a liar in their testimony, then most people do not believe any of their testimony. The jury just dismisses everything they say because, you know what? They lied about this. How can I trust them in anything else? In Mosaic law, which is the law of the Old Testament, people who lied in a court hearing, if they were a witness and they were lying, they could be charged or they could be given the same punishment as the one who committed the crime. So if someone murdered someone else in their own trial and you were a witness and you lied about that, and the punishment for that person was to be executed, you could be executed along with them. Even to the point in some writing says that the person who lied is the one who executed them, and then they were executed by the other people. See, God and God's people did not take lying lightly. We've got to get back to the point where we take truth and we have honesty as something we hold up high. Being truthful is important to God. Why is it important? Because just like the third command that we talked about where it says, do not carry God's name in vain, do not take God's name and lie about it, God says, don't carry my name in vain. When we are lying about someone else, we are carrying their name in vain. And so God says, don't do it. It's something that we should not do. We should not speak of others vainly. So God cares about the truth. The truth is important to God. But you see, we've started to categorize lying. We have categories like white lies, which means these aren't as bad as the others. I've never heard of a black lie or a red lie, but we consider white lies to be, you know, just kind of not that big a deal. And we are okay with white lies. When God says everything is not okay, when you lie at any point, you are doing wrong. And when we categorize lies, we begin to make lying part of our life. We accept it. It's just what we do. Again, our politicians, we're coming up on elections. Unless you've been under the rock, you've heard 1,000 commercials, and they're just going to get more over the next few days. And you've seen yard signs, and there's people out there, they want you to vote, and they will promise you things. You know, I'm going to stand for this, or I'm going to do this. And when they get in the office, they don't do it. They lie to you. And our response is not to kick them out of office, but to say, that's just what politicians do. We accept it. It's part of life. It's what we expect. We hold people accountable who lie. But you need to understand something. Lying created some of the biggest tragedies in our history. The very first lie told was by Satan to Eve, and he said, you know what, you're not going to die. And he lied to her. She took the fruit, she ate it, and the idiot standing next to her watched her do it, and she handed it to him, and he ate it too. All started with a lie. You think about what happens in Jesus, and you read his trial, and the way they convict Jesus is based on lies. They lie about Jesus, and that is the reason that they convict him. Some of the lies had to do with whether or not he would rebuild the temple. It says he would tear it down and rebuild it. Jesus is talking about something else, and they said, well, you know what? It's bad enough. Let's go. We got to get rid of this guy. And so they would try to get their witness to corroborate the stories, but they couldn't even do it. But in the end, they said, you know what? He deserves death. And they lied about Jesus. That's how they got him executed. A few years later, the Caesar, the emperor of Roman Empire, his name was Nero. And Nero wanted a little extra land for his palace. And so somehow, some way, it catches on fire. And he does nothing to put it out. And what he does is he blames Christianity. He blames the Christians in and around Rome for setting the blaze. And persecution breaks out. He persecutes them. Others persecute them because they saw them as enemies of the state. All the while, Nero begins to build up his palace more and more on this newly cleared land. A lie. Nero uses the lie for his own personal gain and for the death of our brothers and sisters. In America, just a couple of hundred years ago, less than that, or even today, people think that just because you are of a different color of skin, that you have less value. And we lied to ourselves and we lied to others and said, you know what, God's okay with it. These people are not fully human. These people don't have the same value we do. And we lied to justify it to ourselves, and we had this slavery in our life. And today, racism says the same lie. It's just illegal to have slaves now. And so we're just racist, and we say, you know what? Those people aren't as good as we are. Those people are less human than we are. Those people deserve death. And we believe the lies, and we tell the lies, and what we're doing is we devalue them, and it leads to their death, it leads to their demise. And in American history, it led to the enslavement of a people just because they had a little darker skin tone than we did. About 50, 60 years ago now, well, 70 years ago now, Hitler lied to the country of Germany. And he lied to the world. He said, you know what, Jews, they're not even worthy of being called human. These Jews, they're less than human. And he was the leader of exterminating, of killing, of murdering in horrendous ways up to 6 million Jews. All because he lied and said, you know what? They don't have the value I think they should have. And we're okay with lies. As long as it's not destroying us, we're okay as long as it destroys others. And God says, no, absolutely not. You need to be someone who hates lies. Someone who doesn't practice lying. Someone who is truthful. And Satan is known as the father of lies. And sadly, too often we follow his lead. We lie about our age. We lie about our weight. We lie where we've been. We lie what we've been doing. We lie about how big the fish was. We lie about if we like someone's haircut. We lie to people who just had babies and say they're beautiful when we don't think so. The most beautiful child I've ever seen. You're like, God, that kid's ugly. But we lie. Like, oh, we do it to make others feel good. We justify our lying because we don't want to hurt someone's feelings. You know, how do I look in this dress? Or do these pants look good? And like, yeah, I don't want to hurt her feelings, or I don't want him to feel bad. And so we will lie. We just need to be honest. And ladies, if you don't want the truth, don't ask the question. But we've justified lying. We've rationalized it. Well, we want a happy wife, so we have a happy life, and I'm going to lie to her to make her feel good. We tell half-truths. If you think about the Bible story of Abraham, Abraham goes down to Egypt, and when he's in Egypt, he knows his wife looks good, which is amazing to me because she's like 100 years old at least. So she's a hot 100-year-old woman, and he knows Pharaoh's going to hook up with her, and he does. And so Abraham tells Sarah, look, I know you're my wife, but you're also my half-sister. So let's just tell everybody that you're my half-sister and that we're not together in any other way. So Pharaoh says, man, she looks good. Is that your wife? He's like, no, that's my half-sister, which was the half-truth. Well, technically, it was his half-sister, but it was also his wife. And we will tell half-truths. We will tell enough truth to get us out of the situation, but not the whole truth. And oftentimes we keep silent when we should speak up. Might as well just lie. The fact is, God says, be truthful. Do not bear false witness. Do not lie about your neighbor. You say, well, who's my neighbor? Jesus answered that in the New Testament. He says, basically anybody is your neighbor. So don't lie about people. So instead of lying, instead of being someone who doesn't tell the truth, instead of telling lies, we should have integrity. And that's what Jesus demonstrates in the New Testament, for us to have integrity. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 37, Jesus is in the middle of his Sermon on the Mount. And in that Sermon on the Mount, he says, let your yes be yes and let your no be no, and anything more than this is from the evil one. And he goes on and he starts talking about having to make oaths, like I promise, or I swear by this, or I swear by that. And Jesus says, let your yes be yes and let your no be no. In other words, and just be honest. Be known as someone, if they say yes, it means yes. If they say no, it means no. Not wishy-washy, not someone who lies, but someone who is telling the truth. Be a person, regardless of your desires, to be someone who tells the truth. And normally we talk about integrity as someone who wants to be the same outwardly on the outside as they are in secret. The same when nobody's watching as we are in public. I think integrity also means to be the person that you want to be. The person you're saying you're being. If you're, in other words, if you want to be someone who's truthful, be truthful. Have integrity. Don't just wish for it, but do it. You can't control if someone lies to you. I can't control if someone tells me a lie. And people lie to me all the time. I can't control that. I'm getting better at reading it, but I can't control it. But you know what I can't control? If I lie. I can control if I tell the truth or if I don't. I can control if I try to rationalize something. I can control it if I you know, just try to give this big old story about why I lie. I can control whether I tell the truth or whether I bear false witness. And Jesus says, let your yes be yes. Be someone who is known as a truth teller. Don't be someone who says, I promise, really this time. Or I swear. I know I told you a lie before, but I promise, I swear, I'm going to do it this time. If you've got to do that, you're known as a liar. And God says you need to change that all around. So be honest at work. Be honest at home. Be honest to your spouse. Be honest to your children. If you promise something to one of them, do it. If you say you're going to do something, do it. God has called us to have integrity. God has called us to be truthful. God has called us to be people who are known as people who are honest. It's really cool, or it's an interesting story at least, when Jesus is before Pilate. Pilate's the Roman guy in charge of the territory, and he has the ability to execute someone or let them free. And so at Jesus' trial, the leaders knew that they couldn't kill Jesus, but they wanted to kill Jesus, so they sent him to Pilate. And so Jesus is before Pilate, and Pilate is interrogating him. And he wants to know if, you know, are you the king of the Jews? Are you this, that? And then he asks Jesus this question. What is truth? What is truth? But Jesus doesn't answer. Which is totally ironic, because standing in front of Pilate, standing right there in his face, is the truth. Jesus is the truth. In John 14, Jesus makes the statement, I am the way, I am the truth. I'm the life. Jesus says, you want to know the Father? Get to know the Son. You want to know truth? Get to know me. Jesus is the truth. If you want to be a truthful person, you need to know the truth. And I'm not talking about a fact or an opinion. I'm talking about Jesus. If you want to be a truthful person, you've got to know the author of truth. That's God Himself. Do you know Jesus? Have you ever given Him your life? Have you ever fallen down and said, I give up. I can't do it on my own. I can't be in charge, but you are. And I'm gonna repent. I'm going to stop what I'm doing. I'm going to stop the way I'm thinking, and I'm going to change my action. Not just change my want to, but I'm going to change what I do and follow you all of my life. If you don't know Jesus, if you don't know the truth, will you talk with me today? We could talk about getting to know Jesus. Maybe you've given Him your life, but you're having a problem with honesty. You need to repent from that. You need to say, I'm no longer going to be someone who lies, but I'm going to be someone who is filled with truth. Maybe you use lies, or maybe you use your tongue as poison and hurt someone, and instead you need to apologize. Don't make excuses. Don't say, but my feelings were hurt. Just say, I was wrong and I am sorry. And as they play, I want you to spend time responding to God. I want to invite you, if you've never met Him, to come and talk to me or talk to someone else. I want to invite you to pray. The altar's here. You can come along or you can grab a friend. If you want me to pray with you, I'd love to. Will you respond to God as they play? Will you stand? Father God, I thank you that you are the truth. That there's absolutes in our life, even though our culture, even though our Satan tells us that truth is not always true. God, I pray that we would trust the truth. That as Pilate looked into your face and said, what is truth? That we would look upon you and say, I want your truth. God, I pray that we would not be free with truth. that we would not be people who have to make promises endlessly because we're not known as people who hold on to truth. God, I pray that we'd be people who are known for our integrity and known for honesty rather than people who lie. That we would not minimize lying in our culture, in our lives, in our homes, but we would hold high the standard of honesty. I pray that you would help us to be honest. Pray for those times when we have used our tongue to be dishonest or to hurt someone, that we would seek forgiveness. In your holy name we pray. Amen.